comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet, and whoever you may be, thank you for being here. Welcome to talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. The show where you actually matter. You know, last night was talk show hell. We got through it. And I want to thank all of you who called in and assisted me in getting through it. We did get through it. I said on air, it doesn't appear to me, doesn't look like things look when we get attacked. But weird stuff was happening. Now, what happened was the telephone set itself went dead. The telephone system was still up and running. That's weird. The system was running. Everything checked out. It was fine. But the set went dead. And then during one break, the monitor up on which I monitor our TV channel, and I don't watch the TV channel, but that's where we're broadcasting from, that computer, and I monitor that software. That monitor clicked off. But the computer that it's hooked to was still on. It was just weird stuff happening. Well, I've checked everything, and it's all working. I've checked it all. And the best that I can figure, I can't swear that what I'm about to tell you is exactly what happened. But it's the best I can figure out is this, based on the way these things are hooked up. We don't get a lot of rain out here in the desert. But yesterday, we got rain. And it's still raining. And it's been raining all day. We're getting a lot of rain. For us, it's a lot of rain. The wind has been blowing. And we do have that often in the desert, but high winds, high gusts, and rain, the only thing I can figure is, you know, we haven't built for wet weather out here. And the only thing I can figure is some of the equipment somewhere out there got some water in it, had some kind of problem, something. And our voltage just dropped a little, not enough to cut everything off, but it dropped off a couple of things and then came back up. Well, that's okay. Maybe that doesn't make sense to you. But that's the only thing I can figure because it's all working now. And shortly before the show ended last night, we got it working. Okay. Part of that show, I could not monitor the television channel. So there were times when there was no audio. Not only did I not know there was no audio on the television channel, there was nothing I could do about it, even if I had known. Because that monitor was black. It just went black. So I don't know. It was mysterious stuff. As I say, Murphy lives in our studio. But this problem was out there. It wasn't in here. It's all working. I don't know. We'll be back with Jeff Warline right after this. We are back. And Jeff Woolline is back with us again tonight. I tried last night, and there was one time when we did reestablish contact with him, and then it all just went away again. And so he's been very gracious about it, but we're delighted to have him back. I'm glad he was able to come back and be with us tonight so we can actually complete what we started last night. Jeff, you were telling me, by the way, welcome back. Well, don't tell me that this is going to do this again tonight. Are you there, Jeff?
You know, Kevin, I can barely hear you.
All right, you should be able to hear me a little bit better now.
There we go. That's better.
Welcome back.
Great, thank you. Always honored to be here, Kevin.
All right, now, Jeff, you told me something about the weather here this afternoon when we talked on the telephone. You told me about some kind of warning that we've got, and I haven't been out. I didn't even know about it, but it doesn't surprise me. What was that? We're under some kind of a warning?
That was interesting, yeah. We're being hit with some serious rain here in Phoenix, Arizona, over the last, give or take, 2 or 3 days. And this last cell here, I was kind of just glancing on the news there, and the weather guy issued a tornado warning here in the city of Phoenix, and I was like, what? And I looked at the television, and sure enough, there was an icon graphic up there that said tornado warning or tornado watch in effect until 10 p.m. in the greater Phoenix area. And I was like, wow, that's something, because, you know, that's...
Yeah, we don't have that out here. Yeah. We have dust devils.
That's right.
But tornadoes are a bit more serious than dust devils. And for those of you who don't know what a dust devil is, it looks just like a tornado, but it's dust. And it doesn't have the power and the destructive qualities that a tornado has, and they're usually very short-lived. But a tornado. Was it a watch or a warning?
Well, it was a watch up until 10 o'clock tonight.
Okay.
So we're still in the effect of it here. We're still in the watch for another 2 hours, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't guess there will be any UFO sky watching tonight. not here. And if you see anything flying through the sky tonight, it may be because it was tossed there by the tornado. Anyway, let me say this too, and I didn't say it last night, but I want to say it tonight, and I think it's very important, especially for any new listeners that we have who don't know you, Jeff. Jeff is one of the most prolific videographers of strange phenomena that flies in the skies above Phoenix, Arizona. There are others, and some of them are serious, and some are what I think are wannabes. And then there's been a few, one or two just outright frauds that have come through here. But Jeff is really one of the most prolific of the videographers of the strange things in the skies above Phoenix, Arizona. And for those who don't know, you need to know that two or three really jealous others have just targeted Jeff for a number of years with some nasty, nasty things that they've put on the internet or that they've said on the internet. And Jeff and I have talked about this over the years, and especially over the past year and a half. And my advice to Jeff, and I think he's followed it pretty much, but my advice is don't respond. Don't respond to it. These guys will hang themselves. And he's pretty much done that, and that pretty much has happened. And Jeff's still standing. And his videos are seen on some of the documentaries you watch on television. UFO hunters have had Jeff on. Jeff, it's just, I think you've done a marvelous job in the face of some really uncalled for opposition And I'm just glad that you're still standing. And because you are, we have the video that we're going to discuss tonight and that I'll be showing on the TV channel tonight, December the 27th. Now, we got started talking about it last night, but let's recap a couple of things. What time of the day was it on December the 27th when you first noticed there was something strange in the sky?
Well, first of all, Kevin, I'd just like to say I appreciate all the kind words that you had for me there. You know, it's an honor, you know, hearing that from you, and I appreciate that a great deal, and thank you. And
well, it's just the truth.
Well, I sure do appreciate that. It means a lot coming from you, Kevin. You know, this sighting that we had back on the 27th of December, excuse me, was something else. You know, it was roughly around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I had simply stepped outside my girlfriend's backyard. And this is halfway in between, give or take, Phoenix and Glendale, kind of around in that area. And it was about 4 o'clock, and I stepped out, and I'm a sky watcher, of course. You know, I'm always scanning the sky. So I just happened to look up above the house, and sure enough, there was two orbs, and motionless, like right above the house, give or take, 1,000 feet or so.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just sitting there. One seemed to be a little bit different than the other. One seemed to have this black tip maybe on the bottom, and it was kind of, I don't know, kind of moving in such a way that I wasn't familiar with. But what caught my attention is they were both just motionless, you know, and they wasn't moving. And they must have been about two blocks away from each other up into the sky like that. So I immediately scanned the rest of the sky, and I didn't see anything else but these two objects. So I quickly ran into the house screaming to my girlfriend and to my son Joshua, hey, everyone get outside, you know, we got something in the sky. So I wasn't able to, the camera that I normally film these objects with is down, and it looks like I'm going to have to invest in a new one. So I ended up grabbing the next thing I could, which was like this little handheld Palm Pilot little high-definition camera that, you know, you can get at Walmart there. And so I ended up grabbing it, and I opened up the window, and everybody, you know, went outside. And when we got back out there, more had popped up. It seemed like five seemed to appear. And it was like we saw these two snakes and then, like, three other orbs, and next thing we know, we had them all over the sky there. It really looked like a constellation of stars when you look at it at nighttime, you know, and it just they just seemed to pop in, and I was just overwhelmed. I mean, I've seen, you know, formations like this before on videos, you know, from other people's videos from, you know, from around the world, but I've never experienced this before. I've seen a lot of things, and I've experienced a lot of things, but I've never had something like this pop up over the house like this ever in my life, and there was just so many of them up there. I did the best that I could, you know, videotaping these things with the camera that I had, and my son, he was trying to videotape on his camera, and on the video there that I have up on the website, petroglyphsinthesky.com, I did like a little short interview with my son, and he was describing what he was seeing, and he was describing this serpent, this snake that seemed to move its tail around, and my son was like, yeah, it was kind of creepy, and I was like agreeing with him, yes, it was very kind of, you know, it was something, it was kind of creepy, you know, and we were watching these things, and there were two snakes. Those were the ones that I was really, you know, keeping my eye on were these serpents, because they ended up, one ended up over our head, and you can hear Josh saying in the video, Dad, they're above our head, and I'm doing the best I could on zooming in on this thing, and the video that I shot, you could see very light orbs in the sky, but the one that's the brightest, there's a big bright white one there. Now, he's the serpent. That's the one that I'm really trying to concentrate on.
Now, the reason that you're calling that one the serpent is because that's the one that from time to time appeared to have kind of a tail on it?
That's right, that's right. I have seen and videotaped many serpents in the sky, so I'm pretty familiar, you know, with these things, you know, in dealing with these things for at least 5 years now. You know, I'm pretty in touch base with them. I'm pretty, you know, I know what to look for. And I immediately, you know, picked up on this serpent. You know, there were just so many out there. And as I'm trying to videotape this, my girlfriend is screaming in the background, "Jeff, they're behind us," you know, and I'm going, "I know, they're everywhere." And I just said, "Point your camera up and just start filming, because it doesn't matter which way you point, you're going to catch something." That's how many was in the sky. And my son counted anywhere from 20 to 21, but on an estimated guess, I mean, through the whole sighting, which lasted anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes, give or take, I believe that at least 45 to 50 of these white orbs were just popping up through the sky. And it was weird because they wasn't like moving like from west to east, but they were popping up in that direction. And before I knew it, my son's like, "Look, there's a line over there." And I looked and I was like, "Holy cow!" You know, there was just this long string of orbs, and they seemed to be oriented towards the sun there. And it was something, you know, like I said, I've seen other videos from around the world, and in this country, matter of fact, if you search YouTube there, on UFO fleets, you know, California is really picking up on their orb fleets, and I've noticed New York has really, really had a lot of fleets happened in the skies of New York. So not only is this happening here in Phoenix, but it's happening around the world.
Jeff, you have provided us with videos of quite a number of strange things, some of them were orbs coming and going from South Mountain and from some of the other local mountains here around the Phoenix area. And yet you say this is the first time you've seen anything quite like that, right?
That's right, with this many in the sky. Now, I've seen altogether at once, maybe five at one time, you know, in the sky. But I don't believe I've ever seen anything, you know, like this, mm-hmm. you know, and how they just seem to appear, Kevin. One minute they were there, and the next minute they were gone. It was like someone was just poking the sky, you know, putting holes in the sky, and they weren't that high. They were give or take 1,000 feet. Some seemed they were a little higher than the others, maybe because they were a little bit dimmer than the others. Some were flickering on and off. My girlfriend, Michelle, she commented on how the triangle was flickering there, and then it kind of disappeared, and then it reappeared upside down, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, and again, for those who didn't hear us last night, when you say the triangle or the boomerang, what you're talking about is these lights or these orbs got into a formation of a triangle or the formation
right.
of a boomerang. And
right.
Yeah, so there was no solid body vehicle between these points.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And actually, Kevin, there was there was many formations within this five-minute time period that was happening. And one was a big, pretty big triangle, upright triangle. And then when you look at the video, I kind of scanned over to the left of this triangle, and here sits this boomerang formation. It must have been like three or four, you know, in a straight line, you know, going kind of like in a boomerang, and they were just kind of sitting there, you know, in this formation. Now, nothing was in between it. You know, I said over and over again, Kevin, that these things are living creatures, and that, in fact, there's nothing really in between these objects. They're actually, each light, each orb that you see is the creature, is the UFO. Now, these petroglyphs, studying the petroglyphs, now, sometimes they do merge together, okay? And I've seen these white orbs move up next to one another, and this line will come from one and connect with the other, and before I know it, I've got this barbell, you know, mm-hmm. in the sky there. And so they do connect that way. But in this type of setting, no, these guys were in a formation, just like what you see in the military. You know, the military flies in formation. These things were precise and right on in their formations, and it was pretty impressive.
Now, for those who have not seen your video of this, if they click your picture, that's on my website, it will take them to petroglyphs in the sky, and you can see the video. But for right now, let me explain, folks, if you haven't seen this video, it's daytime. So we say lights, they're not lights, they're orbs, but they're reflecting light, but it's daytime. And it's a cloudless sky over Phoenix, which is pretty normal here, actually. It's kind of abnormal when we have a lot of clouds or rain. And really abnormal if we get any snow, but that did happen, I think, once in this past century.
Mm-hmm.
Snow in Phoenix.
And but now we're talking about tornadoes.
I don't know anything about tornadoes out here. So I hope this is not the night we make history.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a cloudless sky. It's a sunshiny day. It's 4:00 in the afternoon, and these things are up above Phoenix. Now, one of the questions that a lot of people ask, I've heard this for years. Well, if there's really all this stuff up in the sky, how come I never saw it? Well, if there really are gorillas in Africa, how come you haven't seen them? It's because you're not there to look at them. Your eyes are not looking at them. And, you know, I have to admit, you know, I get out and go walking, and I don't walk around looking up in the sky. A UFO could be, you know, right, you know, 50 feet above my head, but just behind me. I'd never see it because I don't look up. I look around, and you know, I don't look up. So the only way I would see something in the sky is if it were out on the horizon in front of me. Then I would see it. But there's stuff in the skies all the time, not just over Phoenix, but over much of the world. All right, we have to take a break, and when we come back from this break, we will continue talking to Jeff Woolline. Welcome back. It's the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Jeff Woolline. Jeff, I was talking about when we went to break, I was talking about how, you know, we don't look up and watch the sky very often. And, you know, even for someone like you, you're a sky watcher, you don't see something every day. But there are things in the sky very frequently that are strange, anomalous. We don't know what they are. And, you know, it's thanks to people like you who are looking up that we get to see videos of them. But you've probably had people say that to you, haven't you? Well, how come I don't ever see anything?
Yeah, all the time. Well, I wasn't seeing them either until I started paying attention. And that's the key. You know, you gotta keep looking up, and you know, these things, they don't make any noise. You know, the things that I've been filming and what most of the people are seeing around here, they don't make any noise. So they could be in that sky, you know, for hours, you know, and you just won't know unless you look up.
Well, and if you were not a sky watcher, you would not likely have looked up and seen these on December the 27th.
That's true, you know, that's true. Maybe. Now, there's so many out there that it was kind of hard to miss. I mean, once they were really doing their spread, it was intense. It got kind of nerve-wracking there for a minute. You know, this is the first time, you know, I've seen these things a lot. I've had these things fly by my window, you know, all the time. They come over my house all the time. But this last sighting was, this one made me a little nervous, okay? And this one kind of, it gripped me, you know? It made me, you know, nervous. It made
Why?
Me worried, you know? You know, I'm really not sure. I don't know. You know, when it was all over with, I ended up coming back out there to look to see if there was any more. And they were gone, except for one. And it looked like he was about ready to disappear. And then when I stepped outside the porch and I looked up, it seemed like we had made contact with each other. I mean, I felt something, and all of a sudden it was getting bigger as it was descending down. It really looked like it was coming down. And, you know, to be honest with you, Kevin, I got a little worried, and I darted back in the house, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, what am I doing? I got to go film it. So I ran back outside, and it was gone. But when it really seemed that we were looking at each other, you know how you get that feeling?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get that feeling in your gut?
Mm-hmm.
This feeling overwhelmed my body, and I was just, you know, it made me nervous. So
I had a guy that called in the other night, and he was talking about that he had some night vision equipment, and he had been watching the skies at night, and he said, sure enough, you can see all kinds of things up there, and that he had seen things that look like some kind of animals. He said, like squid moving across the sky, or fish.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they're very, very high up, but he said he had seen these, and he had never told anybody or talked to anybody about it. And then he heard me the other night saying, maybe it was last night, I don't know, whenever you and I were talking about, yeah, I think it was. But we, you know, I mentioned that, you know, it could be living things in the atmosphere, and
that's
we're just
right.
not aware of these things,
mm-hmm.
or haven't been. But maybe they're not extraterrestrial at all. They live in our atmosphere, and they swim around up there like fish swim in the sea. And he was delighted to be able to call in and say, you know, here's my story. And, you know, he was delighted that there were other people talking about the possibility of living things in the sky. And that is what you talk about, isn't it?
That's correct. That's right. And I think, you know, in today's world, with all the crazy things flying around out there, you know, if you see something, you need to don't be afraid. Tell people, because, you know, don't be afraid of what they might say, because if it's legit and you really saw something, you know, other people have seen it too. So that's the thing that, you know, you shouldn't be worried about, is because, you know, you're not the only one, because it's happening around the world. And for someone to come forth and say, yes, I did see a flying serpent, I did see a flying squid, you know, that confirms what everybody else is saying. So we really need that testimony. We need more people to pay attention to the sky and to say, yes, you know, I saw something also, and verify what we're seeing.
Maybe our entire universe is but a drop in a beaker in some lab, and what we're finally seeing is all the other stuff that's swimming in the fluid around us.
That's right, Kevin. You know, studying this phenomenon, you know, I've come to find out that, you know, the Native Americans here in the city of Phoenix, you know, they witnessed these things too. And they didn't have video cameras back then. They had the stone rocks, the stone boulders out here. And their photographs, they carved photographs of what they saw in the sky. So to me, you know, these mountains here around the valley with all this rock art on it, you know, is actually testimony. It's eyewitness of something that occurred many, many hundreds and thousands of years ago. And it's important for this story to get out, because the things that those people saw in their day, we're seeing in our day also. And when you look into the the mystery and the myth, if you will, when you find out the interpretations of these rock art and the symbols and what they truly mean, you will come to find out that these things have been with us the whole time. It's not outer space, but inner space. What I've come to find out is it's just like the oceanographers, okay, who are to this day still finding new species of life, new species of fish on the bottom of these, you know, of these ocean floors. It's the same thing above land. This is a new species of life that has always been here, and it's pretty much the same thing. You know, just because we're not in the ocean looking for fish, we're out, on land here, and these things actually are living creatures, okay? And from studying them and watching them all these years, they're highly intelligent, they highly have a conscience, they know what they're doing, okay? They're incredibly smart, and they've been basically, some of these old ancient scrolls that we read, they have been watching us this whole time. They have always been here. You know, when you ask the Native Americans, they already know about these things.
By the way, let me interject something. I saw you on a documentary. I won't name it. The very little bit of television that I watch is only when I know there's a documentary about UFOs or Bigfoot or something like that. I'll watch that. And I saw you on a documentary, they fairly presented your views and what you say about these things. But then at the end, when they were kind of summing up, they mentioned it. Jeff Woolline and his views, and they said, but it is, after all, his interpretation of these things. Well, that's not the case. It's not Jeff Woolline's interpretation of the rock art. Mm-hmm. That's not the case at all. I checked with a Native American shaman, mm-hmm, who told me right here on the air, you were exactly right. That is what those... We're talking about the spirals in this case, and she said that is what those spirals mean.
That's correct, and this is some of the problems I'm, running into, trying to explain this. They think I'm making this all up and everything, and they're not understanding that I'm not saying anything that hasn't been said before. Where did I get all this crazy stuff? It's because I've read it, I studied it, Yeah, I'm not the one saying it. I'm just repeating what has been said for hundreds and thousands of years.
Well, I think the descendants of the people who carved those rocks are in a better position to tell us what it means.
That's right.
Than anybody else.
Absolutely.
And if that's what they say, if they say those spirals indicate a portal into the sky or into the earth, if that's what they say they are, then I'm predisposed to accept that that's what those spirals mean. That's what they're there, because these are the people, these are the descendants of the people who carved them.
That's correct, and it gets really, really interesting when you call their bluff. Exactly what I did. I took all the Native American myth and everything that I've learned, and I pretty much called their bluff on it. I staked out the mountain for 2.5 years, and I came out going, you know what? They were absolutely right. Everything they said about the spirits and the spirals and the doorways is absolutely correct. I verified it. I was a witness. My eyes and the camera, okay, was the witness to what is going on in the mountains here in Phoenix, Arizona. And the Native Americans are right on the nose on this.
Well, I would think so. back to I've never seen anything like that, or people who say, oh, I've never seen anything, and I've lived out here in Phoenix all my life. Do you know how many people there are that live in Phoenix that have never, ever come face to face with a rattlesnake?
Hmm.
Most of the people in Phoenix have never come face to face with a rattlesnake. That's because they live in town. If they get out of town and out into the desert, you don't have to be out there long until you encounter these critters. They're out there, and they're out there in large numbers. And how many people are there in Phoenix that have never seen, personally seen, a coyote? Most of us in Phoenix have never personally seen a coyote. But you get out in that desert and spend the night, and you will likely see coyote. You will likely run into javelina. You will likely run into rattlesnakes and scorpions. They're out there. But if you live here in Phoenix, in the city, you're not likely to run into those things at all. Well, the reason you haven't seen a rattlesnake face-to-face, folks, is because you haven't been where they are. You haven't put your eyes on them. Just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean it's not true. And, you know, you mentioned, Jeff, the oceanographers going deep into the ocean and finding life, that types of life that they didn't know existed. They get surprised all the time. They find things they never saw before.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. So, you know, folks, that's the whole, and I've talked too much, and we need to let Jeff talk, but that's the whole point of this show, night after night, is let's open our minds to the fact that there's a great, huge deal of reality that we never heard before, we never saw before. Doesn't make it less real. We'll be back after this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and my guest, Jeff Woolline. Jeff, I've heard a theory, and I sort of have taken that theory and kind of adapted it to some of what you've told us before. And I want to throw it out. We just got started talking about it last night when the lights went out, so to speak. But I want to throw this out. You've told us before here on the show, you've said that you noticed that a lot of these things that come out of the mountains seem to be very interested in hanging around a power plant that's over there next to the mountain. I believe it's an electrical plant. And you've told us that they seem to be attracted to that. Now, here's the theory. The theory goes like this. Let's say that everything you're telling us about these creatures is correct, and I have no reason to suspect it's not. I have no reason to suspect that these are not living beings of some kind. I cannot say that I know that's the case. You know, you can say that. I can't, because I haven't been out there watching them like you have, day after day and year after year. But let's assume that it's all 100% correct, and they like hanging around the power plants. Well, let's also assume that there are some creatures of some kind that seem to live in our upper atmosphere, and the reason that I'm speculating about that, NASA has photographed and videotaped a very large, very long, worm-like thing crawling around the clouds, above the clouds, at the edge of space. And that video is on YouTube. You can go there and find it, folks. And that's a NASA photograph. And it's just a long tubular thing, and it just kind of moves around kind of like a worm or a snake. All right, and it's big. All right, so let's say that these creatures are out there. Now, here we are on this planet firing all kinds of electronic devices up every day. I've got three computers running right now to do the show. I've got a telephone system. It's electronic. I've got a mixer. It's electronic. I've got a camera. I've got the lights on. And that's just here. That's just me. But in addition, we have thousands of radio stations transmitting into the air. We have everybody in the Western world, just about almost everybody, has a microwave that they cook in. We fire those up. You've got HAARP and its five sisters around the world, or six sisters around the world, all firing high energy into the atmosphere. So we have electrically charged up the atmosphere around this planet. Could it be that because of that, some of these things that have been living, perhaps, in the upper atmosphere have been attracted to all the electrical charges down here on the ground?
Sure. Sure, absolutely. You know, in studying this, the mountains here, you have to ask yourself, okay, well, let's just suppose I'm right, and they're coming and going from the mountains. Well, why are they coming and going from the mountains? Well, when you look at it at a scientific angle, you'll come to find out that most of these mountains around here in the valley were formed by fault lines, and fault lines generate energy. Okay, and this also happens to be where this power plant is over there on the east side of South Mountain, around in Ahwatukee area. This power plant is boiled down into this fault line, and this fault line is able to compress this gas and to make the energy, so we're able to turn on our lights here at home. Now, studying these things in 2004, I watched these lights, these Phoenix lights, doing neat, massive formations over this power plant. And watching them and studying them, sometimes they would, like, burn excess steam. It looked like steam that was coming off these things. And sometimes, you know, they're motionless, okay, and they'll just sit there in the sky. But other times, this is one of the reasons why people are missing them, is because they're not zigzagging all over the place. They're moving ever so slowly. I mean, to really see them move, you have to videotape it and then take it home and then fast forward it as you play fast forward, and then you will see that thing cruise. And where is he going? He's going right down into where that power plant formation or that power plant is. You know, he disappears right before he gets to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's interesting, too, because in 2004, I don't know if you remember or not, but a major grid went down that year, and it shut down some hospitals and some businesses here around the valley, and they had to pull in a whole new grid from California on a 22-wheeler, I think it was, and it took almost a month to get here. And that was the exact same year as I'm watching these lights hang over this power plant. So, yes, I believe that these things are drawn to energy. And something that reminded me when you were talking about NASA photographs, there's a video I saw on YouTube where NASA's filming these lights over a major storm, a lightning storm that was happening over the Earth, and these neat lights were popping up right above those clouds and flying around there and disappearing and coming up on the other side. They were having a heyday with this electricity. So, yes, I believe, you know, electricity and energy has a lot to do with these things.
There is an old sci-fi movie, probably several with this sort of general theme. I can't think of the name of it. It's an old black and white sci-fi movie. But you have this monster that's made entirely of energy. Mm. And everything they shoot at it to make it, to kill it, everything they shoot at it just makes it stronger.
Sure.
It absorbs the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just wonder, that's sci-fi, but I just wonder if something like that may be exactly what's going on. That, you know, these things thrive on energy, and perhaps we're seeing them more often now because we're transmitting more energy into the air. One of the things that people do, and they don't even think about this, you ask them, do you have a telephone? And they'll say yes. And what they have is a cell phone. That's not a telephone. That's a radio. That is a radio. It transmits a frequency, on a frequency. It is a handheld radio that simply happens to be duplex and has some features that look like a telephone. It's got some buttons to push with numbers on it, but it's a radio. Now, how many people right at this minute, I'm going to snap my fingers, and right when I snap, I want you to think about how many people are on cell phones around this world. The number will be in the billions. If you add up everyone on the planet that was talking on their cell phone, their mobile phone, when I snapped my finger, right at that moment, around this planet, the number of people that were talking on their phones, their cell phones, transmitting on those radios, is in the billions. Maybe a couple of billion. And, you know, all of those are transmitting. That's energy that we're firing off into the atmosphere. And then you add to that all the other things we're doing. You know, how many cops are out there across the United States, across Canada, across the UK, Australia, Germany, Norway, Sweden, Thailand, Vietnam, all around the world, that are sitting on the side of the road with a radar unit? How many? Thousands. Tens of thousands, if you add them up worldwide. Well, those radar units are firing energy into the air.
That's right.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away.
Arizona, this is the Kevin Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jeff Woolline. Now, let me throw one more little bit of information into this mix for a specific reason, and then we'll open up the telephone lines. And here it is. For a very long time here on this planet, we've talked about the possibility of terraforming Mars and, you know, making it possible for humans to colonize Mars. There's been some talk about doing that to the moon as well. Now, one of the places in this solar system that we've never talked about terraforming, not until recently, is a little place, a moon of Saturn, called Titan. Now, the reason we never, ever had talked about terraforming it is because we had never even sent a probe to the surface of Titan. But with the Cassini mission, we did that. We got pictures. And with the Cassini mission, there have been several passes around Titan where they've photographed more things and the scientific instruments have done more research and sent data back. And now there are some studies out there that say Titan is the most desirable place to actually colonize. It does have some tough conditions, but the studies talk about how to overcome those conditions. Not terraforming it, but colonizing it. And they say it's more advantageous than Mars. Now, the point of that story is this. There are so many things we've never thought about before. There are so many things we've never seen before. We make a mistake if we put a parenthesis around our mind and believe that within the parens, the universe exists. Because there's far more to know than we know. There's far more to know than we can even imagine. And the only limits to what we can achieve, the only limits are the ones we put on ourselves by putting those parentheses around our minds and saying outside of that is impossible, or outside of that there's nothing. So, you know, are these actually living creatures that are flying in the skies above Phoenix and above your city? Some of them very well could be. The telephone line is open, and the main number is 623-444-5889. All right? If you need to call me on the toll-free number, you may do so by calling 888-223-4599. If you don't live in the USA and you don't live in Canada, you can call me on that main number. It works anywhere in the world, 623-444-5889. Or you can send me a flash message by going to my website, scroll down, and you'll see the link that says flash message. All right? Okie dokie, let's go to the telephone line. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Ryan up in Washington.
Hi, Ryan.
Yeah.
Can you hear me good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Great. Well, good show tonight.
Thanks.
First of all, I want to say that I'm pretty convinced that these things are in the atmosphere. They're flying around. I know that they're flying around Mount Adams here in Washington. Mm. And if you look at that video out of Mexico, that had the string of them that flew out and intelligently became into formation. And if you look at some of the other sightings around the world, these orb circular objects are pretty increasingly seen by many people. Now, having said that, I might say something that might go the wrong way with some people, but for me personally, I think that when these things connect to each other and they form into one object, it can look like that to us, that it is a serpent or a squid or a fish or something. But for me personally, I'm not ready in my own head to go to make the stretch from that to saying that it's a serpent. Or the term serpent to me has a lot of connections to it. You know, people think of eyes and teeth and tail and legs and stuff like that. And so I just try and stay grounded in that it's an unknown. I mean, it may look like that to us, but I think we need to remember that our eyes can see things that,
right.
I mean, we
exactly.
Have...
Now, when I say serpent, I'm not saying like literally like a snake that, you know, we find here on the ground, but a serpent shape. That's pretty much what I'm trying to say, that, you know, I saw a snake in the sky. You know, I saw what looked like a snake. You know, it was some kind of red blob in the shape of an S, okay?
So it looks like that, yeah. I mean, that's the only term you can really use,
yeah, I know.
For it. Because
but you know, this is a very good discussion.
Oh, wasn't that awesome?
Well, this is a very good discussion for us to have right at this point in the show, too, because, you see, when we look at something and we don't know what it is all we can say is what it has the appearance of.
That's correct.
And when you read ancient documents, and you know, the professor says, well, they were just superstitious. No, they weren't. They were describing what they were seeing, just like we're doing. And so if they said they saw a flying shield, they're not saying it was a shield. They're saying it was something that was shaped like a shield, and it was flying through the air. And we're doing exactly the same thing here. When, Jeff, you told us about seeing a barbell, I've seen that too, right here in Phoenix. I've seen it too. Now, we're not saying it is a barbell, but it's in the sky. And if you ask me, well, what does it look like? Well, it looks like a barbell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what it is, but, you know. And so we're doing the same thing the ancients did. We're not any different. And they're not less intelligent than us. And they were describing things in the vocabulary available. We don't even know what to call the. We say it's an orb. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's not an orb at all.
Hello?
You know, so...
We're still here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking in the back. I'm really sorry. It's kind of hard sometimes when everybody's talking to... first of all, I'm not sure if you even hear me or not, but...
Yeah, we hear you.
Yeah, so you're coming in great.
Yeah, all I'm saying is that I know these things are there. I'm not saying that people are making it up, and I'm not saying that... I know that Jeff saw these things. They pop up in the atmosphere. I know it because they're the same things that fly over Mount Adams down here. They're the same exact thing. And I think it's the same thing that flew down there in Mexico that came out of that string.
Yeah,
and I think that they connect to each other. They connect to each other. And, you know, they may look like a flying squid, but I am personally not ready to make that leap. And everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but that's what I wanted to say. And I know it sounds controversial, but...
No, it doesn't at all. That we agreed with you.
Right.
We're just saying that's what it looks like.
Right.
Okay, thanks very much for the call, Ryan. I appreciate it. And, see, that's the point.
Did you see what he was talking about there, Kevin? That sighting down there in Mexico?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Those orbs that were coming out of this one huge orb, it was like shooting out of them?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that was crazy.
I actually put a link to that in the K-Files e-zine, so for those who are subscribed, you got to see it too.
That is something else.
Yeah. Okay, the telephone line is open at 623-444-5889. Or toll-free, within the USA and Canada, it's toll-free. And that number is 888-223-4599. We have also available, for those who are outside the USA and outside of Canada, we have the flash messages available. We have one from Blue in Australia, and he says, Jeff, have you ever tried to get up close to these low-flying orbs, and do they give off any kind of radiation?
Good question. You know, I think they do give off some kind of trace of something, whether it's radiation, whether it's something else. The reason why I say this is because in studying the mountain, studying the skies, and studying what flies around the mountain, you know, I'm not the only one watching these things. There is somebody else that's also watching these things, and they're not saying anything, but they're keeping tabs on it. And they fly around in these little black helicopters and sometimes these white airplanes. Now, one day, it's on my YouTube channel. It's called Black Helicopter Checking the Doors. Now, what I mean by this is this helicopter, it took me, okay, about a little over a year. Now, when I say doors, I'm saying that I've watched these things come and go out of certain areas throughout the mountain there. So I'm watching roughly about that time 7 to 10 doors, okay? Now, this helicopter one day came in, and he checked all these doors and actually went to a few new doors that I had no idea, you know, that they were at. And he went right back to that one door where I say a flying serpent came out of. It's on my YouTube channel there. And he went to that rock 3 times. Okay, three times he went to that rock. And, you know, that's just kind of telling me, you know, well, he knows. You know, he knows that there is something there. And watching some of these other helicopters, I've seen them, they just hover over this spot there on the mountain, and they'd stay there for about 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes. Then they would leave, and 5 minutes later, an orb or one of those things would leave the mountain or would come down and land in that very spot. Now, I think that right before the door is opened, let's say the energy is being released, I think there is a type of element that, you know, prescribes there. I think you are, with maybe with infrared, able to see, you know, maybe radiation start to build up there, maybe some type of energy start to build right before, I like to call it, the magic happens, right before one of these things appear, either goes in the mountain or comes out of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that something does.
Well, it has to be something for their instruments to pick it up.
That's right.
Exactly. There has to be something.
I really
there.
Do think, whether it's radiation or not, I don't know. But here's another interesting factor. Now,
okay, you have to make it quick because we have someone on hold. Go ahead. But you just make it quick. We've got someone on hold.
Okay. Way deep down in this canyon, I found some spray paint of what looked like biological, the symbol for radioactive material. I found some spray paint that was painted like that. Now, it wasn't graffiti. It's not some kids playing around. This looked kind of official, and it looked very old. So it would I would like to take a radiation Geiger counter up there and just check that area out. So I have seen, you know, some symbols that represent radiation on South Mountain. Whether it's legit or not, I don't know, but it's there.
All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Mark out of Los Angeles.
Hi, Mark.
Sunny Los Angeles.
Sunny Los Angeles. Yeah, when I talked with you earlier today, you guys were getting your life jackets ready.
Yeah, it eased up a little bit right now, but I see lightning. I'm out in the car right now, and I see lightning off in the distance, and we've already had one tornado this afternoon up north L.A., and then we had two that touched down yesterday, so it's
wow.
It's pretty nasty out here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So what's on your mind this evening?
Well, when you were talking about these space worms, you know, I went on YouTube and I looked it up because I haven't had a chance to see them. And I was looking at a video that apparently came from, or was videotaped on one of the shuttles. Mm. And it was a distance away, but as it was rotating and spinning around, it was reflecting.
Mm-hmm.
Almost as if it was a metallic, but it was very flexible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the one I was referring to.
I think it's like its skin or something. It's shell. You know, it sometimes it glows. You know, when the light is hitting, and this is the reason why I think some people, when they see, you know, this metallic object in the sky, they automatically assume that it's a craft, that there's somebody inside this thing. But, you know, what if the possibilities that this thing that they're looking at, you know, is the creature itself, and that's its skin, you know, it's its shell, and it's just simply reflecting, you know, the sunlight. So
yeah, well, just like these movies that have liquid metal, you know, these liquid metal robots, you know.
Oh, sure.
Even to, you know, us, we might not say, oh, there's no such thing as that. How do we know? That's just like
that's right.
You were talking earlier, and my favorite thing to say is, have you ever seen a baby seagull? You know, no one's ever seen them, but we know they're there.
Yeah,
I like it when someone says, well, I've never heard of anything like that before. Okay.
Yeah.
I can buy that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, there was a time, both of you are guys. Mark, you're married. Jeff, you've got a girlfriend. So let me ask both of you something. This question is for both of you. Was there a time in your life before you had ever kissed a girl? What about you, Jeff?
Well, sure.
What about you, Mark?
What was the? All I heard was there ever a time before I kissed a girl?
That's right.
Was there a time?
Yeah.
Well, I think I've been kissing as soon as I came out. But.
Well, okay. All right. Jeff, there was a time in your life before you had ever kissed a girl. If you just stuck with that and say, well, I've never heard anything like that. You would never have kissed a girl. But you learned to do it, and you learned to like it.
That's right.
Yeah. And there's the universe right there, people. Kiss. There's the universe.
It all depends on what you're kissing.
Yeah. But the thing about it is the whole universe is like that.
That's right.
There's so much out there that we've never experienced before. We've never seen it before, but it's out there. And you know, we need to realize that there's more out there to know than there is that we do know.
Yeah, and you know what, Kevin? I really think that it's time to start looking in our own backyards for these. Interterrestrials, I like to call them, because they're right here among us, you know. So,
well, Blue in Australia further wrote this. He says, I have seen these orbs which have some type of creature at the controls. And he says, like you, Kevin, mentioned on last night's show. Well, I don't think it was last night. Maybe I did last night. I can't remember. I was so busy trying to fly a 747 without the hydraulics last night. But maybe I mentioned it. But yeah, there are many people who have reported taking pictures of orbs, and then when they look at the pictures, it looks like there is some kind of a being inside the orb. And maybe they see a face or what. And he wants to know, what do you think they are? Are they spirits or ETs? Maybe neither one. That would be kind of like, what are fish? Are they spirits or ETs? No, they're fish. Mm-hmm. You know, so maybe neither one. Maybe they're not spirits. Maybe they're not ETs. Maybe they're just something that lives here, and we're just now beginning to discover them. Hey,
that's a very good question that you brought up, because it's interesting. There's a rock formation. When you go on my website, petroglyphsinthesky.com, and you go onto the sightings page, there's a UFO sightings. There's a picture, and it shows a barbell, and it seems to be overlapping a man, and it's made a window for this man. Now, my interpretation on this art here is the barbell, this living being, actually came down and picked this guy up simply by wrapping its whole being around this man, and the being opening up its belly, so to say, for a window. And so he's taking this man up. And for someone to see that and think Hollywood, they might assume that the barbell is a spacecraft, but in fact, it's one of these creatures. It's a living life being force.
Mark, did you have another question or comment?
No, I would just I must have missed the part where he was talking about how they were kind of like a metallic skin, but mm-hmm. I was. Just curious, have all of them reflected like this?
No, no.
So they're all different.
Yes, like the serpent. If you go on my YouTube page, there, even my website, when you click it and you watch it, you know this. He's not reflecting. He's a black and red serpent-looking creature. And he's walking in the sky with his tail. That's what it represents. That's what it kind of looks like. And when he comes up over the parking lot there, he's clearly, the sun is out, but he's not reflecting at all. You know, he's kind of like, I don't know, the Indians say they're like spirits, and that's kind of you kind of describe this thing. It was just intense, and it had the shape of a serpent, but he wasn't glowing. He was black and red.
All right. Well, Mark, I want to thank you for the call. You guys stay dry out there and stay safe. And we always enjoy your calls and hope you'll call again. That, by the way, folks, is Mark Maverick. He is the owner of the radio station that carries our show in Los Angeles, Indy 104. All right. The telephone lines are open, 623-444-5889. Toll free, 888-223-4599. You know, Jeff, you went through this period of time where a couple of local yokels were saying it's all a fraud, it's all balloons, and blah, blah, blah. And you know, I just think it's very important to point out, because some of their nonsense is still out on the internet. I think it's important to point out to people who are listening to this show that the same things that we see here over the Phoenix area, you can see videos of them appearing over Mexico. You can see some of these things appearing over countries in South America, over places in Europe. You know, it's not just something here. And, you know, if it's balloons, these same balloons are being released in Mexico and Chile and Brazil and Peru and over the UK and over Germany and over Belgium and over Australia. I mean, these same sorts of things get seen all over the world. And I think it's important to point that out because especially new listeners who don't know you, Jeff, and they go do an internet search, they may run into some of this nonsense from the local yokels.
Well,
I know it's okay, but I want them to have the extra information. All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. The telephone lines are open if you have a question or comment for Jeff. You know, maybe you have seen some of these strange creatures in the sky. If you have, we'd like to hear about it. 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. Or, if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, and I know we have listeners in Norway, we have listeners in Sweden, the Netherlands, Germany, France, Russia. As a matter of fact, Jeff, do you have any idea what, for January, is the number two? United States has the largest audience for this show, and the number two audience for this show, do you have any idea where it is?
I have no idea.
South Korea.
Is that right?
South Korea.
Wow, I would.
Do you know who's number three?
That's great.
Guess who number three would be?
That's really neat. That's impressive.
Yeah, well, guess who is number three?
Who's that?
The Russian Federation.
You know, I do get a lot of hits from Russia, so I'm wondering where it's coming from, Kev. Good job.
Yeah, I don't know why. But it used to be USA, UK, Canada, and then it would switch back and forth. Canada and UK would switch back and forth for number two and three. And then it was Canada and Australia switching back. But for January, for whatever reason, right now it's South Korea and then Russian Federation and then Canada.
Mm.
So
that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Okay, folks, if you have a question or comment for Jeff or a comment about the topic we're talking about this evening, give us a call, 623-444-5889. We had a call coming in during the break. I don't answer calls during the break because when I do and I put you on hold, you go away. That I've been doing this for 10 years. I know that happens. So... the phone lines are open. Now, Jeff, the whole idea, the concept that somehow, maybe, there really are living creatures of some kind in our atmosphere. That whole concept is something that just blows the minds of some people.
Are you there?
Yeah, just blows the minds of some people. No, you haven't lost me, Jeff. All right. Let's take this telephone call. And, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name?
I can barely hear you.
Yep, go ahead. We can hear you.
Oh, I can't hear you at all.
We can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, there you are. Okay, Kevin. Hello, Kevin. Hello, Jeff. This is Heidi from Manitoba calling.
Yeah, Heidi. Go ahead.
I'm just calling. You're talking about pictures where a lot of these orbs are spheres and getting lots of faces within the orbs. I've got literally hundreds of pictures of those just taken around my home. And I've also had all kinds of different beings appearing on film. I haven't had a chance to learn yet how to do a website and actually put some of this stuff up, but I certainly know what you're talking about. I've experienced it right here.
Well, I certainly love. I would love to see some of your work. And you know, if you email me, I can give you my personal number and. I could step you through it on how to build a website and get your sightings up, because it's very important, you know, that you share your information to the world.
Oh, yeah.
And that's great. Yeah, that's great that you're out there filming them. I'd love to see some of the things that you're filming.
Oh, yeah. I've got stuff that so far I haven't seen anywhere on the internet at all or in books and that. It's really unique. It's really different. And this is just right up here in Manitoba.
Well, I sure would love to see what you're filming out there.
You know, Heidi, Canada is one of the real hot spots for UFO activity.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Well, that doesn't surprise me. And yet, you know, the area where I am, I certainly can't see that there doesn't seem to be anything particular in terms of ley lines around here that would account for this, but certainly I think actually my pictures, they now, because I have a digital camera, they're probably into the thousands already of what I've picked up.
Heidi, why don't you pick out some of the best ones and send them to me if you want to, and I can put them in the K-Files e-zine.
Ooh. Could do that.
Yeah, send me a couple of what you think are the best ones, and we'll put them in the e-zine.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for the call.
All right.
That's great. Thanks for calling.
Then.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. Listen, in this audience, all around this planet, there. If you were to just gather up everyone that listens to this show and interview them, you would find a tremendous amount of information and a tremendous amount of evidence like those photographs. This is just an amazing collection of folks. And
that's right.
You know, it's a privilege to get to do the show and to get to talk to folks like that. Got a question. It seems the closer we get to 2012, there's more and more activity of all kinds. Yes. Now, let me explain that. There seems to be more UFO activity. There seems to be, and I mean a lot more. It's increasing rapidly. There seems to be a lot more earth change activity. And, of course, we've been seeing that happen with these earthquakes. Now, one thing a lot of people might not know, because our attention has been focused here in America on the earthquake in Haiti, the earthquakes. They had two more today in Haiti. Because that's right off of our coast. I mean, it's next door. So we're focused on that. But for the 2 or 3 weeks before that started, there were earthquakes popping up all along the Pacific Rim, off of the coast of Taiwan, off of the coast of the the Solomon Islands, all around the coast of Alaska, down through California, from the north to the south, they had earthquakes. And then we started focusing on Haiti because of the tremendous destruction that was done by the earthquake. But we've just got lots of increased activity, it seems. We've also heard reports that there are swarms of little earthquakes happening around Yellowstone. We've heard people saying that you need to really watch the New Madrid Fault, which is, folks, the Mississippi River. I told someone the other day, Jeff, that the Mississippi River is not a river. It is a fault line that has water in it. And they looked absolutely shocked, dumbfounded, didn't even know. And yet one of the largest earthquakes ever in the United States was that Mississippi River, the fault line. And the water actually ran backwards. It ran north in the Mississippi River. And that was when? Early 1900s, maybe? Late 1800s? But it was one of the largest earthquakes ever in the United States. All right, so all of this stuff seems to be increasing. Seems like there's more of it, and more of it all the time as we get closer to 2012. Do you see any significance to the 2012 date? Is that an important time?
In studying this phenomenon, absolutely. Absolutely. It's Mother Earth letting us know that, you know, we're getting closer. Some would say we're getting ready to enter this fifth world here, and Mother Earth is letting us know by these earthquakes and typhoons and devastation that's going on in today's world. So I think 2012 has everything to do with not only the world shaking, but the increase of UFO activity.
You know, and sometimes folks absolutely misunderstand when I say I don't think December the 21st, 2012, is going to be especially an especially significant day. And I think they misunderstand. But if you think back to what I've said about it, I've said, well, yeah, we're going to have an increase in calamities and catastrophes. It's just going to continue to increase for a while. But what I mean, Jeff, when I say I don't think December the 21st, 2012, is going to be an especially significant day, a lot of the movies that come out and a lot of the books have some big planet buster catastrophe happening on that day. I think what we've got is an increase all the way up to that date.
Mm-hmm.
And on that date is when things begin to settle down.
That could be true. That could be true right there. Mm-hmm.
Now, Think about this, Jeff. You and me are in the Phoenix area, right? So we don't have earthquakes out here very often.
Well, we're due for one.
Yeah?
we're late.
Yeah, we're late. But, you know, like they have in California, that's kind of common out there. We don't have that. But out in California, they had these earthquakes. Now they're being washed into the ocean by these heavy rains and mudslides. Okay? So we think, you know, out here in the desert, we're probably pretty safe, right? Well, if Yellowstone, they say it's a super volcano and it's overdue. If it blows, you and me are sitting here in Phoenix. We're in the kill zone.
That's right.
So there's really no place you can go where you can say, okay, now I'm safe. There's no place on the planet you can go. You move east of here, and you're moving towards the New Madrid fault line. They're predicting that the next quake in that thing is overdue, and the next time it shifts, it could put the entire state of Louisiana, Mississippi, part of Alabama, and part of East Texas underwater. Okay. Now I don't know if look, you could have a minor quake there, but you know, if they get the big one, they're saying that that's a possibility that that could happen. There's no place you can go on this planet where you can say, now I'm safe, because the planet itself is going through some horrendous changes. All right. We'll be back after this, and the phone lines will be open. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on final approach. That means we only have a few minutes left. We have time for one more, maybe two, calls. If you have a question or a comment, please feel free to call 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. Jeff, one of the first people to say there are things living in the skies and flying around in our skies, living creatures that we did not know. I'm not going to say he's the first, but one of the early people to say that was Jose Escamilla with his film Rods. And he called them skyfish. He said they look like they're swimming in the air. And, ever since the Rods film came out, he's been under a lot of criticism with all kinds of debunkers saying that's nonsense. But when you look at a film or you look at a video, and what you see is stuff moving in the sky, the video camera doesn't manufacture this stuff. It doesn't. There can be artifacts of the camera, that's true, but when you see stuff flying in the sky and then you put your camera up there and you take the picture, that pretty well says it's for real. We don't necessarily know what it is, but it's for real. We're looking at this video now, a piece of the video that you shot, and, you know, we're seeing all these orbs that you have circled and in the still shot, and then you zoom in on them so we can see them. Obviously, something's there. But my question to you, why do you think these things are living beings or creatures?
Well, only because of the simple fact I've had, firsthand experiences with these things. I've seen them up close. I've been watching them for 5 years now, and very, very closely I've been studying these things, and that's the conclusion that I've come up with, because I went into this with an open mind, thinking spaceships, men from Mars and things, but when I sat down and studied it and watched what was going on, my outlook on this completely changed, and it wasn't in outer space, spaceships and green guys from Mars, but it was another life form. And just watching them, they're smart, they're intelligent, and to me it seems like they do have a conscience. They do know when a plane's coming and when to get away from the plane and things like this, So it's telling me they're intelligent. So when I'm seeing them up into the sky and they're high up into the sky, if from me dealing with them for a long period of time, I already know what it is. You know, it's a creature. You know, it goes way deeper than this, but we'll leave it at that for now. That it's another life form that's with us. You know, pretty much all the time. So,
but your interpretation or your view of this, your perspective, is that these are not extraterrestrial.
That's right.
Your view is that they live on this planet just like we live on this planet, and they've been here for a very, very long time.
That's
do
right.
you think that they are, do you think they've been here longer than humans have been here?
That's very possible. Very possible. Just that's what I said in the beginning of the show, you know. The oceanographers are finding new species of life in the ocean. Well, we're finding a new species of life above the ground now, above the oceans, you know, that actually live here among us, with us, you know, and they've always been here.
You know, oceanographers have also discovered that dolphins and whales are exceedingly intelligent.
Sure.
And, you know, they are able to communicate with each other in ways we are only, even now, just beginning to scratch the surface of decoding and understanding how they communicate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But they do communicate with each other. And some of the characteristics of their means of communication, the U.S. Navy has tried to duplicate in order to have long-range underwater communication. But it seems, you know, whales can communicate with each other and be hundreds of miles away and still communicate. And that's a mystery. And they have a language. And, you know, they're amazing. It would not seem odd to me if whales and dolphins can do that underwater. It would not seem odd to me that creatures that live in the sky would be able to do that as well.
Right. But the thing of it is, you keep referring to these things that they live in the sky when I think that, you know, if they live anywhere, it would be within inside the Earth. You know,
well, some of them possibly,
yeah.
But some of them possibly in the atmosphere as well.
That's true. And also, you know, when we're talking extraterrestrial, okay, now, it's very possible and it's very likely, and I think this to be true, because I've seen in photographs, especially over, what's that moon that's by Jupiter? I can't Aurora, I think it is, or can't remember what it is. But I remember seeing a creature that a satellite photographed. That's over Europa. That's right. And there's many UFOs that are hanging around Europa, and they look exactly like the things here. So what's to say they're not bouncing from planet Earth going to Europa or Mars? You know, where the energy is gathering there, and you know the sun. The sun is an awesome place for these things to feed on, you know, so.
So you think they could actually exist at the sun?
I think so. I think so, yes, because we see them in space all the time with the space shuttles and things, and we're getting, you know, NASA photographs of these flying serpents, what look like flying serpents over different planets. So, yeah, you know. But when you look at it on some of these people who have dealt with these things in the past, you know, when you read some of these old scrolls, they will tell you that they were cast down here, that they lived here, you know, that they were put here for a reason, you know. And that's kind of the direction that I'm kind of looking at.
What about UFOs that are vehicles? We only have a couple of minutes left. What about UFOs that are vehicles? Because there are some that have crashed and have been recovered and photographs taken. So what about those?
I think it's highly possible. I have yet to see, you know, anything to prove that there is, you know, something out there. I haven't seen any video or any documentations or anything from my own eyes. you know, that would convince me that there's a craft, but I am open-minded to this, because when you look at the stars in the sky, each star is a sun, and what's to say there's not another Mother Earth flying around that star that has the same species of life on it, like humans, and what's to say that they haven't, you know, they're a little bit more advanced than us and are able to build a craft and to send one of their probes here just to check us out. Now, I would believe that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something that I would believe in, sure. Mm-hmm.
I had Stanton Friedman on the other night, and he said that flying at 99.99% of the speed of light, you could travel, I believe he said, 37 light years, and it would only seem like 6 months to the pilot.
Yeah.
And he could make that in 6 months of pilot time.
Sure.
Jeff, we've got to bring this one to a close. I really appreciate you being with us. And folks, what you don't know, Jeff had 4 teeth extracted today and still did the show tonight. So, Jeff, thanks for that. Stay on the line with me.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Kevin.
You bet.
Always an honor.
All right, folks, that's it. That's a wrap. We got through it, and with minimal difficulties. Still a few, but minimal. And I think it is what we thought it was. I think it's a voltage thing. All right, my friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you wish to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.